There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 669, the best of 2017, women, work, and money.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
It is the moment you've all been waiting for. Well, maybe not, but hopefully this gets you excited. Guys, I'm launching a money course in partnership with the very smart people at Investopedia.com. I'm launching a major soup to nuts money course that's targeted at young professionals who want to make the most of their money. So do you want to squash those student loans, catch up on savings, earn more money, maybe buy a house, or just negotiate a better lease on your rental? My 9-module money course arrives early January. To be the first to register for the course and receive a special So Money discount, go to somoneycourse.com, or if you don't want to leave your cell phone right now, just text me. Text So Money Course, that's one word, to 44222. That's So Money Course, one word, to 44222. Hope to see you. Welcome back, everyone. Merry Christmas, December 25th, 2017. To those celebrating, hope you are having a festive day around family and friends. Hope you're enjoying the day with loved ones and finding time to relax because you deserve it. This is our third show dedicated to reviewing the best of the year. And today we're focusing on the intersection of women, work, and money. This topic came up a lot in 2017, as you can imagine. It was an historical year for women. Starting back in January, we had the Women's March on Washington, which was reportedly the biggest single-day demonstration recorded in our country's history. Then late in the year, the hashtag MeToo movement, an outpouring of women's accounts of sexual harassment in the workplace, led to a number of high-profile and highly paid men losing their jobs over overwhelming claims of sexual misconduct. Call me an optimist, but I sort of feel like the new year has got to see an uptick in female hires and promotions. Am I right? But to bring this all back to the podcast and the goal of So Money, you know, here we try to bring stories and strategies that can help us all conquer our financial challenges. And often we talk about the place where money comes from, and that is our jobs, work. Deepa Purushottaman is the managing director of the Deloitte Women's Initiative, and she joined me back in March, episode 553. She is tasked with the important and great job of building opportunity, enrichment, and new thinking around talent and inclusion in the workforce so that all leaders, especially women, can thrive. Now, she and I had a massive conversation in the spring about women in the workplace And here's an excerpt where she addresses some of the controversial advice out there that women should, you know what, just learn how to make peace or at least play along with some of the male-driven standards at work.
How do you react when people promote, and I say people, like career experts and leadership experts often quote from the male playbook, the male corporate playbook? People criticize LeanIn for that in some aspects. How do you reconcile that in the workplace when clearly you're a woman and you're not a man? What's the balance there?
Hey, you know, it's funny. I think it's one of those things where earlier in my career that used to bother me. I used to really wear a big chip on my shoulder on why are people seeing me as, you know, younger? Why are people seeing me as, you know, all these, as a woman first? And that's not how I want to be seen. I think over time, I've really learned that that's really more about me and not necessarily, I should say that's more about them, not about me. And really kind of been able to put a boundary around myself as a result of that. I also, you know, have definitely had discussions with other women. Do I spend Sunday watching football so I can go have a conversation about that and be part of the water cooler talk? And I've chosen not to. I think there's a lot of different perspectives on it. And my advice to people is I don't think one is right or wrong. I think you have to find what works for you. For me, those weren't things that interest me. So I didn't really want to play the game or adapt to a male style that wasn't who I was. I found ways to do things in a way that was authentic to me, that felt good for me, and find ways to connect with people. I think a lot of that dialogue is about relating to people, and getting people to connect with you so that they open up and that you trust each other and you can work better together. And I think if you emphasize or find other ways to connect with people that are truly authentic to you, it doesn't have to be on a male, female sort of, you know, traditional or stereotypical line.
But at the same time, there are gender differences. But do you see a time and place in the corporate world, just like we're sort of seeing in other realms of life, this sort of gender fluidity that we're just not going to start seeing each other as men, women, and therefore stronger, weaker, different? That would be ideal place to be in the corporate space.
Yeah, it'd be a great ideal place to be. For me, we have to acknowledge some of that happens, but I also think that there's a real value in playing to your strengths or really figuring out what works for you and really emphasizing that. So I'm not suggesting it doesn't happen. I'm not suggesting, that it doesn't exist. I just think that rather than placing energy and trying things that aren't you, I'd rather play to ways that work for me and place my energy there. Doesn't work for everybody, but it has worked for me and it's made me happier and a better leader as I do that.
Now, listening to all of this, I'm left wondering that even when you play to your strengths, as a woman who works and who may want to have a child while working, the fact is you need to navigate a whole number of things that can impact your profession and your bottom line. For starters, should you take time off from the workplace to have a family, to raise a family? Liz Ann Stromberg was a guest in February, episode 535, and she is the author of Work, Pause, Thrive. And in this excerpt, she offers some strategies around answering this hot button question.
Going back to helping somebody who's contemplating taking time off and being strategic. So many of us decide to take time off to be with our families because it comes down to the economics, and you dedicate a whole chapter to money in your book. What should the math look like? And because you're not just losing a salary potentially, you're losing the ability to invest in your retirement account. You might lose some of your healthcare benefits potentially. I don't know, depending on your setup prior to it. And of course, you're not paying into Social Security. So there's that. And as women, we're living longer. We have to take better care of ourselves financially. So how do you reconcile all of that and do the right math?
So it's a really important question. And the answer is it's really hard to pause and actually maintain a lifetime income, right? I mean, if you're actually going to take yourself out of the paid workforce, you're going to lose all of the things you suggested. You're going to lose access to your Social Security, or, you know, inputting to your Social Security. You're going to lose that daily income that you get. You're going to lose all the things that having an income matters and is so important. And so doing this is very important that you're being strategic. But let me pull back and start with a big message, which is so many of the women I spoke to said, well, I'm the one who left my career because my husband was A, making more money than I was. And so we figured that my salary against childcare, it was more expensive to have childcare. Well, fine, except for both of you are actually parents of those children. So both of your salaries should be applied against that child care. So that's one thing I ask a lot of women to reconsider. The problem, of course, is with the next, this sort of next generation millennials, many of them have big student loans, and then on top of that, horrible childcare expenses. And they're forced to leave because they can't afford to do both. It's a real problem.
It is. And there's actually a website, I'll put it on the blog later for listeners, where you can go and calculate your potential loss of earnings over time if you leave work for, you know, 6 months, 6 years, whatever it is. It's really good to put things in perspective. But I was just saying
to interrupt you, I did that. Mm-hmm. 1.6 million. I lost 1.6 million by being a paid workforce for 5 years. So that's a lot of heck, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, in my lifetime, that's a big, tremendous hit. And so I am encouraging women to be really smart about it. Now, do I have regrets about making the choices I did? No, for me, ultimately, it was the right decision. But if I had spent the time to have done the analysis in advance, I might have done it differently. I might have handled it in a different way.
Right. I mean, money isn't everything, but it is an important part of the calculation. Because we start there. That's where we start. Well, you know, we look at the economics.
Right. I mean, you know, so many of the women I spoke to who struggled with their decision to have actually pulled out of or downshifted their careers, they ended up divorced or their husband lost their jobs. The economic security that they had when they had that partner who could provide the health care and could provide that foundation, for whatever reason, went away. And when it goes away, what do you do? There's no safety net there if you've been out of the paid workforce. So being really smart about how you're going to handle it and what you're going to do. So one of the things, for example, I did is I always continued to give into my IRA at the top amount possible. So at least I knew, even while I was out of the paid workforce, I was still providing for my retirement. So I knew that that was really important. I also did insurance. I maintained my own insurance so that if something were to happen to me, my family wouldn't be completely, you know, traumatized financially.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me. Until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Now, speaking of retirement, I want to transition to Sally Krawcheck, who is a friend of the show. She's been on a couple of times, founder of Elevest, an investment platform for women, a Wall Street veteran. She's also an advocate for women in the workplace and gender equality. Here is Sally talking about how having less money can mean feeling less empowered at work, followed by a conversation about weighing the costs of risk-taking at work and in life.
You've mentioned how we need to recognize that money means power, which sort of also feels masculine in that definition, you know, seeing money as this powerful thing to take over, to dominate. What do you mean, Sally, by power in that context?
Well, first of all, we're in a capitalist society. And so you can start with it's the way of score. So to back up, I mentioned earlier, and there seems like there's a slight paradox. There is not. I mentioned earlier, we women have so much in the way of financial resources that we can use and direct and reward companies that are acting the right way and punish companies that are not. However, on an individual basis, we women don't have as much money as men do. And there are all kinds of studies on this. But one example, which you'll know, of course, very well, is women retire with 2/3 the money of men in general, despite the fact we live longer. I call closing the gender money gaps, and of course, as you know, I'm particularly interested in the gender investing gap, the best career advice women aren't getting. Why? Because do you feel better going into your boss's office to ask for the new assignment if you have more money in the bank or less, to ask for the overseas assignment, to ask for the new hotshot, to leave the company because the boss is a jerk and start your own business, to leave the relationship with the boyfriend or girlfriend who was so nice 5 years ago and now is acting like a jerk themselves. You know, money gives us, and I don't have to convince you, degrees of freedom. Money gives us power. And while that may be a masculine word, the concept of that freedom and the ability to live the lives we want to as you know, instead of being hemmed in, I can't leave this marriage because if I do, my standard of living will go down a double digit percent and his will go up a double digit percent, right? Those are traps. Those are traps.
And I firmly believe that more women need to make more because if money means power, then it can mean that as women, because that's just our nature, we will use that power to help people, to help our loved ones, not to take over necessarily, but to provide, to serve.
Women having more money, whether they're closing their gender money pay gap. And another thing the book points out is, you know, when I used to go ask for a raise, I had to just sort of say, hey, can I have a raise? You know, now there's so many resources out there for knowing how much I should be getting paid, you know, whether it's pay scale or get raised or any of these things. Closing our gender gap, gender investing gaps, closing these gaps is absolutely good for women. We know that. It's good for our daughters. There's research that indicates that if we are out there and working, our daughters make more money over the course of their lives. It's good for our families. It puts more money into our families. It's good for the economy. So sometimes guys, I mean, I was just doing another interview and a number of guys were angry about this. There is no gender pay gap. And how dare you, women? You're like, dude, do you have any women customers? I know they do. Mind boggling. But like, okay, fine. But putting more money into women's pockets, dude, do you have any women customers? Because if they have more money, they might spend more money, right? And so it's good for the economy, for society. And to your point, Farnoosh, it's good for nonprofits because women are more generous in giving to nonprofits than gentlemen are. And so it's a win-win-win-win-win, but something in our psychology that if somebody else makes more money, somehow it diminishes me because I think of myself on a relative basis. There's a kink in our brains that has us think that when in fact, this is just so great for everybody.
Last time you were on the show, we talked about how you, over the course of your career, have become very risk aware for obvious reasons. At the same time, you also believe that a person's biggest asset is not their investment portfolio, it's themselves. So marrying those two thoughts, Sally, how should we go about assessing personal risk when we want to climb in our careers, our financial lives, start a business, ultimately own it? But then there's this whole other life we're leading as well. We have kids, partnerships. we have to constantly be reconciling risk in our personal lives. Any advice around that?
Yeah. Here's what I would say, that we need to have our eyes open around this, that if we think about the ways business is changing, I talked about it, technology is changing business. And one example, Farnoosh, when, you know, just a handful of years ago when I ran Merrill Lynch, I had all the information. I mean, doing client surveys was so expensive that even the number two company in the industry could not afford it. So I had the data and no one else did. Today, the information's so cheap, everybody's got it, right? Whether it's much less expensive surveys or even asking a question on Twitter, all of a sudden we've all got the information. That's a dramatic change, a dramatic change. I can talk about another change. You know, think about the changes that are going in marketing. Just a handful of years ago, marketing was all about brand building and creativity. And today it's about that plus multi-touch attribution analysis, deep data analytics. This change is happening so quickly. And so I think for some of us, we think, you know what, that idea of I am going to take career risk, maybe, you know, I don't know, I don't know that I want to do that. That's uncomfortable. I'm not going to do it. Well, you know what, guys, not taking career risk is taking career risk now because things are changing. And so we need to really be in the flow of what is changing, continue to stretch ourselves professionally, continue to push ourselves professionally, and recognize that part of this new world means that we are more likely to get fired than we were historically. That the idea, I mean, think about it today. Can you imagine anybody starting at a job at the age of 23 and retiring at the age of 65 with a gold watch? It's just not going to happen any longer. We as women take failure more personally. And part of, Farnoosh, why I wrote about my own personal failures in the book was to try to normalize it. Look, I got, I got fired on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, by the way, twice. And I, you know, here's how I got through it. Here's how I got up the next morning. Here's what I did. Because failure is going to happen more often. And so I think we have to accept it. Now it gets back to what you and I talk about, which is being financially fit, you know, having an emergency fund, having the savings, having investments so that if, and more likely when that happens, you're in financial shape to manage through that.
Sally is one of my sheroes. No question there. Rounding out our throwback to all the best interviews around women, work, and money is Alice Finn, the CEO of Powerhouse Assets. Alice offered key investing advice for women on episode 582. According to Alice, it's not how much you save, it's what you do with your money that really counts.
So let's get a little philosophical, turning the tables now to learn a little bit more about how your brain works and your money background. And I understand that you're an advocate for women. And as we know, women make less than men. But the bigger problem you see is that we're not even investing or saving the money that we make. And so one of your philosophies is that it's not how much you make, but it's what you can save and most importantly, invest. So talk a little bit about that and why you think that is more important. Because we do talk about on this show how it is important to earn as much as you can, especially women with a wage gap. So talk a little bit about that philosophy and how you came to it.
Okay, so the way I came to it was my father was a diehard investor. And when I was growing up, he had a mantra, it's not how much you make, it's how much you save. So, of course, I remember that in my first job. My first job, I actually worked for NASA, for the space agency. And I remember I was making not very much money. But I remember by the end of my first year, I'd saved $5,000. And my parents were really proud of me because I'd saved money. But what I came to realize after a few years was that that's not where it stops. You have to take the money that you're saving and put it to work for you. Get it compounding. Get it growing. And that's what in the end will create wealth and the richness to be able to plan your own life so that you don't have to work for money eventually. So what I look at is the wage gap, while it's bad, it will lead to, for women, you know, tens of thousands of dollars less than men. I guess it depends on what field you're in, but at least tens of thousands of dollars less over the course of a lifetime. But if you can't invest your money or don't invest your money, that will lead to over $1 million of lost opportunity cost. So it's just exponentially worse if you don't invest.
And what's even worse, not to get too morbid here, but not starting as early as possible. So you started with your first job saving $5,000. Had you invested that at that stage in your life, so much money by the time, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later. So it's really important to get this message in for young women. For the older generations, people who are, say, in their 50s, or I hear a lot of times people are approaching retirement with nothing. Is there any way for them to catch up a little bit?
Well, certainly, if you have nothing, you have to save some to be able to invest it. Usually what I hear from people is that they feel like they're about to retire, so they shouldn't invest because they're going to need to use that money for retirement. But hopefully, most people that are retiring today will have decades to live. So the money that they need in the next 2 or 3 years, yes, you should not expose that to the market because you don't want to have to take it out if the market happens to be down when you need it. But the money that you're going to need over 10 years or 20 years, that should be invested in the market. And you should take as much risk as you can sleep with at night. And that has to do with your personality, your risk tolerance, et cetera. But you really do need to get that money working for you because you're going to need it for a long time, hopefully.
What do you make of this saying that women are less risky than men and as a result don't earn as much in when they invest, and some of them, they're so risk averse, they don't even invest to begin with. Do you see, has that been true in your experience working with clients?
I think if women don't understand how investing works, yes, they end up wanting to just keep their money safe. But once I sit down with them and talk with them and show them how much the investing works. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is I want people to start understanding that if they don't already. Then they realize that getting their money to work for them is actually in some ways less risky, because if you put your money in a bank account these days, it's earning nothing. So by definition, you're losing money against inflation. Mm-hmm. And the risk of that and you're not being able to retire, that's huge. So it depends on how you define risk. And I think if you read a book like Smart Women Love Money, you'll get the perspective that you need to understand that investing, of course, it involves some risk, but it's a calculated risk. It's not like going to a casino. The odds are with you when you're investing. What I explained to people is if your grandmother or great-grandmother had taken $10 in 1926, right before the Great Depression, and invested it in U.S. large company stocks, today that $10 would be worth over $60,000. Hmm. And had your grandmother or great-grandmother invested in small company U.S. stocks, that $10 today would be worth over $20,000. So wow. Just think about that. The trend is up. And of course, there's going to be ups and downs. There'll be volatility. But if you have enough time, the odds are with you. And that's why it's important to get your money working for you.
And that is a wrap. Thank you to Deepa, Sally, Listen, and Alice for their honesty and candor on the topic of women, work, and money. I hope you enjoyed this throwback. Remember to hop over to somoneycourse.com or grab your phone and text somoneycourse, one word, to 44222. Promise I'll let you be the first to know when my course is live and how to score a discount. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Merry Christmas and see you back here on Wednesday. Hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs.
Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.